Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, good Tuesday, everyone. Welcome in. It's Dom time. Side question of the day. You go off to the great Captain Chucky's $50 gift certificate. End of your call. Just hit us with your favorite foreign expression. I don't know what we would use. There might be several of them. I got to think if they're printable for this bollocked up battle over reopening. But I remember talking sometime back, maybe a couple times, with the chief director of health at Bucks County Health Department, which has a strong presence out there in Bucks County, with David Damsker. And I wanted to bring him on because Bucks County yesterday, suddenly there was this unified effort, commissioners and at least all the Republican representatives, I think Democrats too, to say, look at these stats that jump out. How much of this crisis is around long-term care facilities, nursing homes, and the like? The numbers are staggering. Shouldn't that be one metric? And then you look and seeing how the rest of the county is doing in making decisions about reopening. Let's go to David Damsker here on Talk Radio 1210. David, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Don. Thanks for having me.
Well, what provoked this all of a sudden that we've seen a pivot point here that several counties now, even Delaware County, they were a little bit more indirect, I think, than you guys, that suddenly the data just hit and people are saying, hey, reopening, take a look at the nursing home deaths, sadly, and let's separate that out somehow or another.
Yeah, we've done a lot of the data crunching and the numbers that we've gotten in Bucks County over the last couple of weeks, and it's very clear that the trend is clear that the cases are in healthcare workers, but most of so the healthcare workers in long-term care facilities and the long-term care residents themselves. And when a long-term care resident, sometimes they make up half of the cases in a day, those residents aren't going anywhere. They're not contributing to the community spread. Now, of course, the people taking care of them can get sick, and I understand the logic behind that. But at the same time, the community spread overall, and we define community spread as people who have no idea where they got it, has been down to about 10%. We've had people that are testing positive that their wives or their spouse has it or their kids have it, and they have testing positive from them. We don't count that as community spread because we know where they got it. There's people that get it from, they may work at a store, and the person working next to them ended up getting COVID, and they turn positive from that person. So that's not considered community spread. We know how those patients are getting sick. The community spread, again, is those that we have no idea where they got it. And those numbers have come down greatly over the past couple of weeks. And again, as I said, the increased number of cases is clearly in our nursing homes, who are also doing increased testing. So there's some nursing homes that are doing mass testing, including the Chamonix Manor here at the county, where we're not artificially driving up rates. I mean, they are true cases, but they're not impacting the community in any way.
Something else you just said there got me, too. And I see the benefit of this, and this is another avenue of looking at this, David, which is you said that we know, most people know probably where this came from versus widespread across the community. So that gets at the idea, if you know where it came from, it's because you probably have extended contact with someone who had this or turned up later to have it, versus that we should be fearful that you can't be anywhere at any time. In other words, we might be able to manage this following CDC guidelines.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point, you know, behind moving to a yellow status, or, you know, the governor's colors. And I think that we are in a different frame of mind than we were a couple of months ago. If you had told me, you know, on February 15th, I had to go into a grocery store wearing a mask, I think most of us would have said, "Well, that's kind of, you know, that's really heavy. That's a crazy thing to do." But I think now, looking back on it, you know, we've all kind of changed our thought process on that and saying, you know what, in order to open society, in order to get things back and running, people are saying, you know what, I'm willing to wear that mask and I'm willing to do the social distancing necessary to move forward. And I think we're just in a different the calculus is totally different than it was 2 months ago. 2 months ago now feels like a year ago. I think for most people, the COVID time is different. But and I also want to make one more additional statement about the testing aspect. You know, the idea is we're trying to increase testing. We're trying to make sure that more people can get testing if they want it. You know, right now we're testing most people that are symptomatic, but we're trying to move to a point, hopefully near in the future, where people that are mildly symptomatic or even asymptomatic right. can get tested. And that will drive up our rates. That will continue to get cases, even if the risk of infection isn't the community risk isn't any higher. We're still going to continue to get cases. And what concerns me about the 50 cases per 100,000, which in Bucks County is about 22 cases per day, it's going to be very, very difficult to ever get to that metric, given that we're trying to increase testing and ferret out every case that there's possible. So there's a couple issues that we have. So it's a long-term care facility rate being included, but also the idea that we're trying to get everyone tested at some point. And those numbers, you know, we may have people that were sick 6 weeks ago, but the PCR test that we do in people's noses can still be positive because there's dead virus in their nose. So we may be picking up cases that aren't even infectious anymore. And again, those numbers are going to continue to bump up our numbers, and it's going to be extremely difficult to ever get to 22 cases a day based on those two things.
Hey, let me say this. You just broke the code for me here. I'm actually jotting the stuff down you just said that I didn't expect. That is a great point. And David, I'll say this. I don't want to draw you into it. A public statement about the rest of the media. They ought to be coming and interviewing you constantly here rather than the stuff we're seeing. You just said something remarkable. And I think, I'm not a scientist, you are, that the metric then is off or has to be put up. In other words, Dr. Levine and these others are saying tests. Well, the more you test, the more you're going to find of this, even the dead virus in this. So how are you ever going to reach these numbers that were drawn up with all good intention, I guess, but they're not going to be reachable if you're doing the right thing, which is more testing?
Correct. And that's the largest concern that I have with these metrics that they're using. And what I've been saying, and we put this in our letter to the governor, is that you shouldn't be looking at the numbers so much as who's getting sick. You know, if we know that people are getting sick from close contacts, you know, that's less concerning than people that come to us saying, "I have no idea where I got it."
Right.
Those are the ones that we're paying most attention to. If someone says, "I haven't left my house but once or twice to go to the grocery store and I got COVID," that's the numbers we want to see going down. And they have been going down for several weeks now. We've seen that trend. It's clear. You know, we contact every case in Bucks County. So we have really good data on this, that it's no more than approximately 10% of cases at this point. So I think that those numbers, it's going to be difficult to ever get less than 10% in some cases, because as long as we have people going shopping, as long as we have people going to take care of people in long-term care facilities or in hospitals and Lowe's and Home Depot and the stores that have to stay open to maintain our society, we're always going to have sort of a baseline of infection anyway. So the coronavirus isn't going to go away completely as long as we have those stores open. So I want the governor to realize is that we need to pick a baseline that's a little higher, because we're going to have cases, and again, we're testing more people, so the cases are going to go up, you know, somewhat anyway. But it's who's getting sick and why. That's what we really need to look at, more so than in some actual number that's sort of artificially picked.
What kind of response do you get, guys in your position? Guys and women in your position, what kind of response are you getting?
We haven't heard anything back from the state at this point. I know that Dr. Levine had said yesterday in her press conference that the state at this point was not in favor of removing the nursing home resident cases from the calculus. So I don't know whether our letter, you know, got to them or they decided that they're doing what's right. I mean, look, it's all being done because they think this is what's best to do. So there's obviously no criticism there. We're just asking them to reconsider the idea that, again, we know who's getting sick in Bucks County because we call everybody and we talk to them about their risk factors. And that's a much more important point for all health departments and the state to go forward with, is doing, we've talked about contact tracing and figuring out where they got sick. That's a much more important thing to have in place than to worry about whether we have 22 cases or 61 cases. It doesn't really change the overall risk in the community.
Absolutely. Well, it seems to me the logic is right there and exactly what we've said. And the average listener, I think, is in agreement. More testing, more of this stuff. You're going to see more of that. You've given me hope, though, that at least in Bucks County, your numbers indicate we know where this is coming from. And that gives us a sense that reopening should be on the horizon if done safely, gradually, incrementally. And we see what happens. Give me an idea. What would it take, while I have you here, if you could speculate a little bit, and if you can't, I understand your position, David. But, for example, haircutting, barbers and all, people are really concerned with this. I have a flood of people that work in this industry, or salons or whatever. If they wore full protective gear, they're talking about shields, ultraviolet, has been put into some of these. I'm sure you're following that. Are we anywhere near where they could operate safely under CDC guidelines? What would they have to do?
Well, from my point here, and it's difficult because in the end, I probably won't be able to be one to making the decision. It'll come from the state. But right. I do believe that if you're a hair cutter or someone doing that kind of work, if you have a surgical mask with a face shield over that, that should be enough. And, you know, obviously you can keep a mask on someone as much as possible that you're taking care of. While you're cutting their hair, it may be very possible. If you can keep a mask on the person you're hair cutting, as well as on yourself and with the face shield, you know, that should be good enough. And obviously, you don't want to be doing things for an hour. I mean, the longer you're in contact with anybody, we know that that increases the risk. But I do think that that's going to be an issue going forward. If we went to yellow today, whether they were included or not, if someone has coronavirus, we still have to treat it the same. So it doesn't matter what color we're in. It matters, you know, can they do it safely? And I believe that with a face shield and a face mask on the person doing the work, as well as a face mask on the person getting the work done as much as possible, you know, that would certainly break down the risk. Now, would it eliminate it completely? No. But we've already talked about this earlier in the interview, that we have a baseline risk. There's going to be coronavirus out there for as long as we don't have a vaccine for it. I don't think it's going to go away completely. Right. And I think that we do need to, if everyone follows these guidelines and it becomes that new normal like we're talking about, we can keep the infections from spiking. We're always going to have infections. And I believe when it comes to school and everything else, we're going to have to sort of get used to this idea that coronavirus is out there. We have some really good data that if you're not in a nursing home or you're not in a certain age, you know, it's not a very deadly disease. It's certainly no more deadly than flu in the younger age groups. Now, that's completely, you know, when you're talking, we've had 20 deaths now. So the people in the nursing homes, the older people with immune suppressing conditions, they definitely have a higher risk of dying, and it's clear. But we can't use those death rates for the rest of our society in order to determine we shouldn't open schools up again ever because, you know, people in nursing homes are passing away. So there's definitely the data has to be all looked at in who is actually dying and in what numbers. And then we move forward to saying, hey, look, we have to reopen society at some point, but it has to be done following these guidelines. People wearing masks, Dom, is not going to go away anytime soon. And we have to all kind of get that through our thinking, is that, you know, at what point do we just all accept that for the next couple of months anyway, we're going to be wearing masks. And I think we have to sort of just get over that idea.
Well, David, thank you very, very much. You got me a lot of hope here, a lot of data, a lot of stuff to keep me on the right track and talking about this intelligently. We'll call upon you again. I want to talk schools next with you. Thank you, David. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Dom. Have a great afternoon.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.